Today's message is fitting for a lot of reasons. Obviously, for graduation season, it fits with that. It fits with Mother's Day coming up. It fits with the Men's Bowl Venture at the end of the month. But it also fits because of the mission and the vision of Good News Church. Our mission here is empowering people to give life. It says on our sign, just because you have it on your sign doesn't mean that's who you are. It says we're a life-giving church. And that's where we're about giving life. We're raising up life givers. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Says this, and when he had called his 12 disciples, everybody say disciples. Called his 12 disciples. You know, in the word disciple, it's in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. If you're to look it up in your Strong's or whatever, hundreds of times. His 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So this word disciple, and I'm not going to give you the actual Greek words. You know, the New Testament is written in Greek. And I am by no means a Greek scholar. I wish I was. And maybe I'll do that one day, do a little further study. But I certainly have books and things that I study on Greek words. And the reason why I do that is because the Greek language is richer than our English language. In the sense that one word has a lot of meaning to them, as opposed to we have to use a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? In English, a lot of words to convey the same thought. And so there's difficulty and it's good. You know, the English translation of the Bible, it's awesome. It's amazing. Thank God for it. But sometimes things can be lost in translation as far as some depth. It's all good. You're going to get a lot out of it, but maybe a little more depth if you can do a little, some word studies. And so this word disciple means a learner. It means a student. And in the sense that it means one who follows the teaching and the teacher. So much so that it impacts their life and the way they live their life. Now, I have a lot of college and a lot of education. Graduated from Oral Roberts University in 1988. I was on the 7-year college plan. Highly recommend it if you have the money to do it. And then so I graduated. Then I went back to school and took another 27 classes after I graduated. And I took accounting, took business, master's in business. And so a lot of classes. And so I've had a lot of teachers over the years. Whole lot of teachers. But I really can't think of any of those there aren't any that I'm following their conduct or following their code or following their teachers. And I had some great teachers and some great classes, but nobody's impacted me so much so in the way I live my life. And so this word disciple is not just being a student in a classroom. It means that the teacher, whoever you're following, you know, that through that relationship, through that instruction, impacts you so much, you want to be like them and live like them. And you see the difference? So when they say the word disciple, it may be different than what you would see in the dictionary for the English word. And so what he's saying here with this word disciple is you're going to think like that person, speak like that person, act like that person, be like that person. Now, it doesn't mean you have their personality. We all have different personalities. And so when we're talking about being a disciple of Jesus, and that's really, you know, what's the goal of being a Christian is to be a disciple. Are all Christians disciples? No. They should be. They can be. But then we're to be ambassadors for Him. That relationship is so to impact us that we're like Him. Do you see that? All right, now let's go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is where the Great Commission is. Everybody heard of that? The Great Commission. There's Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1 are all part of the Great Commission. And we have kind of the mindset, and hopefully in this church it's changing, but we have kind of the mindset that the Great Commission is for the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We call that the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, and so in many, and I grew up with this mindset. I was raised Catholic. This was for, although we never read this verse was for the priest. This had nothing to do with me as the person sitting on the pew. My job was to do the sacraments. My job was to give. I wasn't even asked to serve. I mean, it was an awesome church. My job was just to go on Sundays and do the things and go to confession and give, you know, my crumpled up dollar bill. You know, that was really my job. And so the Great Commission, I didn't know what it was. Didn't even know about it. I never heard of it. But that was not for me. But what we're saying here is the Great Commission is for every believer. We're saying here there's actually a sixfold ministry. And we're saying apostle, and we don't have to have it in that order, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. These are basically just leaders in the body of Christ. And then there's the believers, and here we're raising up the believers. And so we call it the sixfold ministry. And I would even say we're putting the believers first in preeminence here. And so you may not understand that, but that's part of our calling here, and that's what doors are opening up in other parts of the world for us to promote this. Okay? So we're saying that what I'm about to read, the Great Commission, is co-mission for all the believers. So everybody say, that's me. Now point to your neighbor and do it sweetly and say, that's you. Now just because we point doesn't mean it's happening. Doesn't mean you've done that. Now I'm going to stay on your case. Hope you get it. Praying you'll get it. But it doesn't mean you will. I hope you do. Pray you do. So Matthew 28 verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Everybody say, make disciples. Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we see the word disciples here. Now let me ask you, you probably don't know, I didn't know either until I just studied this out, but this word disciples here, is it the same word I read in Matthew 10? Does anybody know in the Greek? Anybody? Do you know if it's the same word in the Greek? It's not. It's not the same word. It's another word. And so if you look in your Strong's, I think it's 3100, they have numbers. 3100 for this one and 3101 for the other word I read. Am I boring you? Probably. So this word is interesting. If you were to look at it just in the Greek text, there would only be one word for make disciples. It's not like a Greek word for make and a Greek word for disciple, and then it's one word. And the one word means to make disciples. Do you see that? So he's saying to us that part of the Great Commission is certainly preaching the gospel, getting people saved, ministering to people. We call that giving life. Certainly that's a big part. I mean, you can't be a disciple until you're saved. So you got to have that part. So, you know, how can they hear without a preacher? But then the other part, and he's not really telling us, you know, 50-50 or, you know, how important. I mean, he's just saying do both. And so he's commanded us then to make disciples. To make the word I said before. You see that? And so part of our calling, each one of us, and whether you embrace it, it's really up to you. I'm just going to put it out there, and I know there are people here that do get it, others that may not, and that's okay. I love you. I'm for you. But just because I'm standing here preaching to all of you doesn't mean we're making disciples here. You know, and just because you have 7,000 people sitting here and I'm preaching doesn't mean we're making disciples. Now, this is good. People getting saved, people being taught, people growing. But it doesn't mean that disciples are being made. Disciples who make disciples. And so this is and so we all, you know, and I feel this here, and it's okay. I can take it. There's a sense here we want more people here. Well, I mean, what's our motives there? A lot of times it's you know, the ABCs of ministry. You've heard of the ABCs: attendance, buildings, and cash. More people, more attendance means more buildings, and it means more cash. And more influence, people will think we're something. I guess a success, right? Don't you think that? You see a bigger building, they've got more people, then they're more successful. Maybe. Maybe. But it could be, and I don't know, I'm not the judge. I don't want to get in that game. I'm not going to judge anybody. But it could be a church of 50 people could be more successful in the Great Commission than a church of 1,000. See, that makes no sense to me. But in God's eyes, He looks at things differently. He looks at it in terms of fruit. And not only just fruit, but then He goes on to say fruit that remains. And that's, so that's a lasting, that's a long term. Not just a short term, bam, look at me kind of thing. I mean, it's over the long haul. Okay. Are you with me or are you ready to go on? There's a great disciple-making scripture found in 2 Timothy. Turn there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. And I just want you to know, whatever you decide to do in your life, I love you. I'm for you. I'm not mad at you, you know, and not trying to persuade you to do something. I just want you to follow God. Grow in the things of God. Have a vision for your life. Walk in the Word, you know, blessed to be a blessing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You, therefore, my son." Don't you love that? No, they're not blood kin. "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So this is a great disciple-making verse. Let me give you a little context of this verse. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had people in your heart, in your life, that you've invested a lot into them, and they've let you down? Or they've left, deserted you, got mad at you, got offended, or division, or whatever. Have you ever had that happen? Now, how does that make you feel? I mean, does it make you feel good when you put a lot of time, maybe resources, energy into this relationship, and now it's no longer there? They're gone? And, you know, it could cause you, I'm not saying that this would happen, but it could cause you kind of to be gun shy. It could cause you to say, well, that's it. I'm done with that. Never again, I'm going to stick my neck out there. I'm not going to take that risk anymore. You ever done it? And that's the way in relationships, and you know, we get hurt. So this is exactly where Timothy was when this letter arrived on his desk. Timothy was in this exact place when he read these words here. He was the lead pastor at the church of Ephesus. He had been working diligently for 3 years, over 3 years, pouring his life into people, pouring himself into leaders. And then as a guy named Nero came along and started persecuting the church, and many believers walked out of church. They walked out of church because they were afraid of death. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, I don't know where we're all at today. I hope we never have to face that situation where we have, you know, choose Jesus or die. I mean, that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. That's where we're going to see who's who. Who's playing the game, who's going through the motions, and who really believes it. I hope we never have to face that. But in Timothy's day, they were dealing with that. And so Timothy had the majority of his leaders walk out on him. They left. They didn't even say goodbye. They're gone. And they were just, you know, fearful for their lives. And so Timothy's sitting there discouraged. I've just put all this into these people, and this is where I'm at. Well, that's it, man. I'm just going to do it myself. Then, of course, then Paul has to send him this letter. And I don't think Timothy was too happy to get it. Oh, yeah, my son. Sure, easy for you. You know, you got me into all this. Now you're off just traveling around. Here I am stuck with all these people. Thanks a lot, Paul. But Paul is not going to let Timothy just waller in his discouragement. I mean, he's going to exhort him. He's going to encourage him. He knows Timothy. He knows what buttons to push. He knows exactly what he needs. So he's going to challenge him. And what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, you need to be strong. I know it's hard. And he goes on talking about being a soldier. I know it's hard. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous. I'm praying for you. I'm for you. You can do it. But it's time now to start over. It's time now to get some new leaders. It's time to get back into making disciples. And so let's look at some of these words here. The word commit. The word commit has two parts to it in the Greek. It means to come near and to come alongside. So that's one part of the word. The second word, part of the word, means to come lay something down. So it means to come alongside, lay something down, make a deposit, give something. So he's saying to Timothy, you got to go out there, be among the people and the folks that I show you, the Lord, talking about the Lord, who I show you and who you're connected with, you need to go alongside them, you need to come near to them, and you need to make a deposit of what's in you in them. And that's tough for him. He just got burned. But Paul's saying, this is the way. This is the way we do things. Now, he does add this, and maybe this is a qualifier that will help him. And maybe there might be some judgment errors. The word faithful, talks about faithful men, is a word means listener, hearer, believer, someone who's reliable. Someone you can count on. So he kind of qualifies it. It's just not anybody in your life. You know, not just, we know a lot of people. It's good, someone who's faithful, someone you can count on, someone you who's going to listen, someone who's open, someone that's teachable. Now, the modern word we use for making disciples, and we use this in business and in different areas, is the word is mentoring. You've heard of that? Mentoring. And that word mentoring, basically, if you just look it up, it means just at counseling, training, teaching someone that's younger. Now, most of the time in the business world, or, you know, it used to be in the old days, father and son. Used to be in the, you know, apprenticeship, and you'd come along and you'd work, you know, beside each other, and then one day either you'd have that business or you'd take over another business. It was mentoring, instructing, coaching, counseling, teaching, and but it's a relationship. But in the church, it's the same thing, but only it's a deeper bond in the sense that it has to do with how you live. It's not just about instruction in football or instruction of business or something like that. It's instruction in living. So we're talking about mentoring. It's about being able to take the word and to skillfully use it in your life to live. Okay? So, let's find my place again. There's three types of mentoring or disciple relationships. First one is Paul to Timothy. You saw that. And I hope I don't offend anybody. I'm using all male names, but I'm not discriminating here. Okay? Just so you know. Disclaimer. Three types of relationships. Paul to Timothy. Paul as a fatherly or motherly relationship. And it's about experience. One has greater experience, greater knowledge, more wisdom. And so, in the church, the difference usually is it doesn't have to necessarily be a younger person. It just means younger in the faith. So you really, it could happen, you have a younger person discipling an older person. Can happen. So Paul to Timothy. Then there's another relationship, Paul and Barnabas. Notice I say Paul and Barnabas. They're peers. The word peer means equals. That means they're on the same level. They have this, you know, right around the same spiritual maturity. And what this relationship does is the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You encourage each other. You strengthen each other. Relationship, you spur each other on to greater things. And then the third type of relationship is Timothy to Paul. And this is the younger apprentice. Again, and I hate to use the word father because the word father has been so abused, I don't even touch that in what I do. I don't call people my kids. I don't say I'm a spiritual father because of all the abuse. It's a biblical concept, but I don't do it because of all the weirdness. I've been people trying to get in those weird relationships with me, and I don't say that. But it is a biblical concept. So Timothy to Paul, the younger apprentice, someone who's learning, hearing, following. And it's not just following their life, it's following them as they follow Jesus. That's a key point. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit and God are in all these relationships. I just found this the other day. Let's look at Isaiah 54, verse 13 in the Message. This is a familiar verse, but I love the way this is phrased. Can we put that up there? Isaiah 54, verse 13 in the Message. There we go. All your children have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. Isn't that awesome? God's in the mentoring. The Holy Spirit, He's in the mentoring. You can get a book on it, but if anybody knows about it, it's the Holy Spirit. He knows how to do it. He's the one that invented it. He's the one that put it a part of the Great Commission. Now, here's a good question. How many people should we mentor? Can we mentor 100 people effectively? Can we mentor 50? Now, if we go by the Bible model, I've not studied this out. I've not done research. I've heard this, and so I'm just going to parrot what I've heard and throw this out there. And, you know, I've obviously seen the Scriptures. Jesus had 12 disciples. But then He had three that He was closer to, right? So let's just say that's the biblical model. I don't know. I mean, Lee Grady thinks he can do 50, so have at it, Lee. Somewhere between 3 and 50. And so let's just look at this. And Nate, come on up here. Since you've arrived, why don't you stand up in the top here? Houston, Parker, Harry, come on up here. I want you three guys to stand right here on this step here. You can face the congregation. Let's see. Are you guys interested in being in the limelight today? If you're okay with it, all six of you, come on up here. Jamel, you come on. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We'll see how many we got left after that. So we got four. Sean, why don't you come then? Wait. So we're at six. Rick, why don't you come? Jose, why don't you come? Let's see how many we got. Okay, let's just make this really symmetrical now. Really, let's just get this. Okay, come. You can go a little further. Okay. Let me make sure I got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. Okay. Let's move a little bit this way. Okay. Wait a second. All right. Pretty good. All right. Looks good. All right. Let's just say that the number is three that you can mentor. And let's just say that, you know, we're starting with Nate, and these are Nate's, who he's mentoring. So he's mentoring three. And then and they may not have a clue about any of this, but they, through the relationship, through instruction, through counsel, all these different things, these three, he may have more, but these three get it. And so they're going to mentor others, and then they do three. And so that three turns into nine. And so right now we've got 9, 12, 13 people. Now, if we were to take this out another row, we'd have 27, 81, 243. Now, again, what the church sees today and what we think is discipleship is me, the pastor, the teacher, standing up here teaching you, we call that discipleship. Which is more effective, this or that? Which is going to be more fruitful for the kingdom? And then, you know, and so what's happening here? Support, love, encouragement. You know, it's messy, it's ugly. Trying to work it all out, it's hard. It's work. But you know what? You know what? Really, this is not right. Do me a favor, Nate. You come down here, and you nine go up there. And keep that order right, because it's got to be symmetrical. It's got to be. Don't mess this up now. And really how it should be, it shouldn't be the pyramid. It should be the inverted pyramid. Because the job of this person is to serve and to equip and uplift and build up the next level. And so it's not about him. It's really about what's on down. And see, this is our challenge, guys. It's impossible. It's impossible to do. It's very hard to do. And to try to do that, and it doesn't lend to the megachurch. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it doesn't. A megachurch is 1,000 or more people. If you wanted to do this well, you see the challenge? Okay, guys, let's give these guys a hand. Especially those that just stepped out, that aren't limelight people. Thanks, guys. And so, I want you to be able to see it. How it's supposed to work. It's hard. Hard to do. Now, let's talk about, and this is not my revelation, I'm going to do this quickly. This is not my revelation. I got this from Lee Grady. Because I would never come up with the five I's of making disciples. That's just not how I do things. But I'm going to do what he has, and it may help us a little bit. We can expound on this later. But the first one is the five I's of disciple making, or five I's of mentoring. The first one is to identify. That's where you find the person. Now, it doesn't work where, you know, okay, I'm looking around the congregation. Oh, there's Nate. He's a faithful person. Nate, can I mentor you? And that's what's happened to me. I've had people say, you know, basically almost telling me they're going to be my spiritual father. Ha! And some of the guys, I didn't say it to them, I didn't have the guts. I wouldn't today, maybe. Heck, you're not going to be my father. You need to be my son. I'm going to be like you. What you want is someone to serve you, someone to give to you, someone help make you great. I'm not interested in that. And that's really that's why I was talking about the pyramid the other way. That's what, you know, it's the upline. We got to make the man at the top look great. So identify. And so it's going to come in an organic way. It's going to come about as you live your life. It's going to come up, you know, people that you work with or serve with or just drawn to or form a connection. It's something that you'll pray about it. But if you don't have eyes to see or desire to see it, you won't see it. Unless you know about it. And some people just do it. They don't even know what they're doing. But what the Lord's saying to us is we need to be a little more intentional. That's a word that I've been really thinking about. Intentional. If I'm intentional about something, that means I make time in my schedule. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's not one of the eyes either. Intentional is not one of the eyes. Our kids are automatically included in this. Automatically grandfathered in. Invest. in order to invest in something, you've got to have to make time. And that's what I was getting to, is we schedule our time about based on who we think we are or where we're at. You're really going to go places if you start scheduling on what you want to be. Because if you're just doing it, your schedule based on where you're at, you're never going to do things to get you beyond where you are. But if you start scheduling your time based on where you're going, then you're going to go there. Does that make any sense? And so I need to invest. I'm going to need to start scheduling some time for some of these people, because usually what happens, just like family, they get left down to the bottom of the list. Everybody else gets better. But we need to intentionally invest, make time for these people that are faithful. Be present. Listen. It's not just about instructing. Give you all my latest revelations. No, it's about a relationship. And you just take it slow and steady. Brother Hagin always used to say, don't make it happen, let it happen. The third thing is to include. Paul took Timothy with him. They did things together. OJT, on the job training. Do things together. Don't do things yourself. Fourth thing is, well, that's what we think it is, instructing. Of course, it's going over scriptures, praying, imparting spiritual principles. But it's not about you being the guru. And I've been in that, and that gets nowhere, where you sit down with the people and they're just going to pontificate all their revelations. They don't give a flip. They don't care really who's sitting there. Just give me some bodies and I'm going to just tell my stuff. That's not disciple making. That's puffing you up. That's not what I'm talking about here. And they learn about spiritual life, of the spiritual life, and they learn how to live, how to take the word and apply it skillfully in their lives. Now, I'm just quickly going to read this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says this, amplified. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your entire being, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and in your hearts. Meaning you've got to have a relationship with God. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, forehead bands between your eyes. You shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's going about your day, going about your life, sharing the word. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a mentor. I hope that you have. Maybe you've had a bad mentor. I've had the bad mentor, and I certainly could learn. I've learned a lot from the bad as well as the good. I was privileged to, when I first got saved, to be a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. What an awesome, I think it's called Crew today, what an awesome organization. They weren't necessarily a spirit-filled group, but they knew about disciple-making. I got into their system. They had a system. And I used to have appointments with my mentor. We'd have breakfast together and talk about life and talk about it wasn't all just about the Word. But then we went through a Bible study together. He took me witnessing. He called them appointments. And then we were in a larger group all doing this. And then finally I would get people saved. And then when I got 6 people saved or 10, whatever it is, 6 of them I took in a and I was scared, spitless. I started a Bible study with those 6 people. And the things that were taught to me, and I'm just a young believer, teaching them to others. It was an amazing time in my life. I thank God for it. but it was very effective and a great foundation for me in my life getting started as a believer. Anybody else had something like that happen? Raise your hand. Not many hands. I hate to say it, and I'll take my part in it. We failed. In a big sense, we failed. But be strong. We can turn it around. It can be changed. It can be different. It must be different. It has to be different. If the latter house is going to be greater than the former. But we've got to get back to some of the basics. And then the last one is intercede for them. Those folks that have people. And again, it might be different kind of relationships. It may be three. It may be the 12. It may be a larger group than that. You know, there's different levels. And all of it's good. And you may not have three right now. That's okay. Maybe you have like a 12. Or maybe you have, you know, four or five that are, you know, kind of a not quite three really close. That's okay. That's good. But let's start opening up our eyes and see what the Lord has. And it may already be there. Probably is. At least one. Then we pray for them. And we'll close with this. Paul's prayers. Now let's look at Paul's prayers in light of what I'm talking about today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and the secrets. We need to be praying this for each other. In the deep and intimate knowledge of Him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set apart ones. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. It's hard, guys. The world is just going in a mighty, rushing, selfish stream. And sometimes you feel like you're going up that stream and you're fighting it on your own. And so if you don't choose not to do this, I understand. It's hard. Maybe you've been burned. You probably have been burned. You've probably been burned by me or a leader or somebody, another Christian. We won't even have you raise your hand about that. We can all raise our hand there, but then we come to mentoring and we got nobody. Oh my God. That's it. I'm just going to call it a day. I just like, it's too hard, Lord. It's too hard, Lord. I've been burned. I've been hurt. They've done me wrong. They didn't have the right motives. Because the problem is we're all people. That's why you got to have Jesus at the center of it. Because mistakes are going to be made. And without Jesus and agape love, you're done. Without His unconditional love working. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, you know, they're the example that I use today of a peer relationship, had a great division over John Mark and separated. It's in the Bible. How many of these churches in this town are split? Isn't that sad? Now, I'm grateful if they could just both just go on and do something great for God, but it's almost like now it's a competition. See, I'm going to show you. You wouldn't do it my way? I'm going to show you. Look at me. I'm going to put your church in the dust. That is not sloppy agape. Oh, 12:05. I'm done. I got to end it here. Giving life is more than me being able to pray for you and to get you saved and get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've said this now. I use this a lot about giving life. It's more than that. It's about relationship too. And there's going to be ones that we've given life to that we need to be intentional with to come alongside them and put a deposit, more of a deposit, in them and be intentional about it. And through that relationship, and impact them so much so that they have it on their heart to do with others. And if we can do that, if we can do the awesome things we've done with giving, reaching out to people, if we can do this with the other part, man, we got something going. And you know what? I've already seen this happening this year. And over maybe the last year. It's already happening, but now I'm just encouraging it to go even further. And we've got an opportunity, and I'm sorry I didn't take it with the Women's Bold Venture. I just wasn't in that place. But we've got the Men's Bold Venture. This is what I'm talking about today is what Bold Venture is about. That's the vision from Lee Grady. And those meetings we've been at have impacted us. The way we did the trust challenge and other things we've been doing here have been impacted by those bold ventures. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we just give you praise and give you glory. Ask you to help us here, Lord. Forgive us if we're a part of the system that's hurt people and, you know, been anti-mentoring. Forgive us, Father. Help us to start making some corrections. Help us to take what we're learning, Father, and to be apply it in a greater way. Help us to be more intentional. And Lord, I'm asking you to form those relationships, those mentoring relationships, you know, form it in a greater way here at Good News Church. That we may be a prototype, Father, of this. Help us in this, Father. Pray for each one here, people that are already seeing it, Lord, and are growing this. Father, I pray for them for boldness to step out, start making some changes in their schedules, rearranging some things. Lord, I ask for this church that we would bear much fruit for the kingdom. I ask you, Father, that not only would we bear much fruit, that we'd have fruit that remains much longer than me or any person, but fruit that remains and fruit really that can impact the world way beyond Augusta. So I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for open doors of ministry and boldness to step through those doors. I thank you, Father, you're sending forth the laborers into the harvest field, raising them up, training them up, sending them up. Father, I know that this school coming up in the fall is part of this, what we're talking about today. It's not coincidence. It's not by accident. It's by divine orchestration, these things that are happening. I know you've got other things. Lord, that we would be willing and obedient and not run from it, but embrace it. Even if we're afraid or even if we're don't feel up to the task. I know that you'll empower us. You're the great mentor. And you'll help each one of us. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.